With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
Hi.
Oh, it's Pete Donaldson too.
Hello.
Oh. Let us begin talking about football to you, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, it's lovely to have you with us. Oh, football's been happening this week, gentlemen.
As always.
Can we reference what we're speaking into? I'd feel the need to explain why our voices might sound a little different this week.
Go on.
We're using commentators' mics.
Yeah, lip mics.
Lip mics, I believe they're called.
You have to sort of hold them on your actual face the whole time you use them.
Mm-hmm. I think people are going to need a photo explanation of this, and so people should look at our Twitter feed and we'll chuck something up there.
Because these
boys, I've not got one. Three out of four have got one. I haven't, but you boys are doing your best to your Motson impressions. So I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it.
It's really hard not to feel like commentators using those microphones. And every time I move the microphone away from my lips, I feel like I've still got a moustache.
I can feel it pushing my facial hair back into my face. Maybe I'm doing it wrong.
That's where it belongs.
We're calling you Michael Finnegan by the end of the season.
Begin again.
And I shall. The Premier League happened this week, as it tends to do. Manchester City are playing Hull this weekend, but Pep Guardiola has conceded the title to Chelsea because Chelsea beat them 2-1 at Stamford Bridge, Jim.
Is it his to concede? Can you do that? Is it just officially throwing it in?
It's big of him, isn't it?
He's so used to winning it. I think he thinks to himself, well, this is strange.
Yeah.
I should really pass on the reins.
We can't lose, we quit.
Yeah. I like the idea of sitting down with Conte afterwards and going, look, I've got some good news for you, Antonio. I've decided that you're okay to go and win the title by me. It's fine by me. Don't let me stand in your way. It's like the equivalent of being jilted by a lover and then saying to them, okay, you can go out and see other people.
Be free.
Yeah, it's nothing to
Be
do
free.
With you.
Free.
Yeah.
John Stones, he had a chance later on, didn't he?
Tricky one to take.
Yeah. I think that's harsh. I think people are saying that. I think it's harsh.
Well, I think Fernandinho had a
very
similar
chance. You think it's tricky to take?
No, I think it's harsh to say it was even a chance.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was very, very quickly. Behind him almost at a strange angle. And Fernandinho had a similar one a little while before, which he blazed over the bar. And no one's really blaming him for that.
I mean, he is a central defender. I mean, he shouldn't really be. I know he doesn't always play at central defence, but I mean, still, you shouldn't be expecting him to come up with a goal, especially when Aguero missed one earlier on.
Yeah, he's becoming a bit of a lightning rod in general, isn't he, Stones? I think perhaps unfairly at times, such as in this case.
I found the whole game was very enthralling to watch, but interestingly enough, City seemed to have the same problem that Manchester United had. Mm. They didn't seem to offer almost. It's weird to see so many good attacking players on the pitch like Aguero and De Bruyne and Sané, but they don't really seem to have any threatening cutting edge.
No, in
that situation. And Chelsea, I mean, and in opposition to that, Eden Hazard was just so dynamic and so effective and so efficient. It was like night and day. It really was.
He's like the perfect Premier League attacking player, isn't he? Because as well as sort of having all the guile and trickery and pace that he has, he's very, very strong. You rarely see Hazard get knocked off the ball.
Yeah, absolutely, very much so.
Like a thoroughbred.
Do Man City's goalkeeping woes continue?
Again, I thought this was maybe a touch harsh on Caballero because it got a deflection on the way in, didn't it? And yeah, I mean, you'd argue that like Manuel Neuer would probably have saved that, but I don't think it's.
I'd argue Joe Hart would have saved that.
You reckon?
Yeah, I thought he should have saved it. Yeah, Do you not think?
Well, I think he should have, but it's been presented as if it's this huge howler. Mm. And I think that deflection's made a difference to it.
It was a very slight deflection, but it seemed to affect the ball. I mean, if you look at the slow motion, Caballero's hands and his body are in the right position, and it only moves the ball probably 6 to 8 inches, but that's enough to go past his hand. Mm. I think almost it sounds like a bit of a weird thing to say, but the slightness of the deflection actually made it harder because he probably didn't clock it as quick.
Mm. Yeah.
If it had been a bigger deflection, he might have been able to stick a leg out or go the other way, and it always looks spectacular when goalkeepers do that. Because the deflection was so slight, it made it possibly a bit harder. But I also thought that, I forget who was punditing, it might have been a co-commentator, really harsh on Caballero for the penalty as well. He saved the penalty.
Yeah. Steve McManaman.
It might have been Steve McManaman or Glenn Hoddle.
I think they were both in the
They
in
were.
The box.
I think one of them said, oh yeah, but he's palmed it straight back into his path. It's like, he
saved the penalty. Yeah.
Come on.
You're not really thinking about where the ball's going.
As far as I understand it, they're coached to obviously palm and parry the ball out into the wide areas. But in a penalty, it's a little bit different. You're just trying to get anything on it, aren't you, really?
Yeah. The real goalkeeping error was Courtois' kick out.
Yes. Yeah. You couldn't even see what he was trying to do with that. It was just a clipped ball up into the air.
He was just trying to float one over whoever it was. Was it Silva or whoever got the ball?
Chested it down.
I think he even took it on the thigh.
If it was Silva, he's about 5'7" as well.
I can't remember. It may not have been Silva. Forgive me there. But Chelsea fans were treated to a free beer before the match as a way to reward their loyalty this season for their good support.
Don't encourage it.
Getting some Chelsea fans tanked up, are we? That's the... Well, it's a great idea.
A bit rich coming from a Newcastle.
You're one man war on Chelsea fans being reignited here.
They had to arrive between 6:30 and 7:15 to receive the beer or a bottle of water.
Hang on,
for those who'd rather.
6:30, 7:15. That's a good 45 minutes before they start the match.
Well, 7:40. Eight o'clock kickoff.
I'll tell you something now, Pete. Just to follow up on that, if you're asking me to go there and get the free beer, I'm unlikely to get there after work. I'm not going to get there in time for that.
Oh, was that the conceit? Do you reckon that's why they did it?
Because possibly. Possibly.
Get here at 3 p.m. to have your beer. And then go back
3
to work.
3 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Well, whereas at Leicester City, they were given free beer and cupcakes to celebrate the birthday of their Thai owner. He's done similar things before on his big day.
A lovely combo. Yeah. Have a beer and a cupcake. They go together like boiled beef and carrots. Oh, lovely tasting notes on this beer and this frosted sugar cake.
I mean, a lot of the beers that are sold in the stadiums are pretty tasteless, so maybe it would... Yeah.
I don't understand the attraction of drinking a beer at a football game. I'll tell you why. You can't drink it in view of the pitch.
Yeah, that's annoying.
It's normally a terrible beer.
You can at non-league.
And true, yeah. But generally speaking, at the top level, you definitely can't. No, and also, it's in a plastic cup.
No. People like beer, though, don't they?
They do, yeah.
It changes the way you think, so you forget about your life.
Some places use those plastic cups that are filled from the bottom.
That's right,
to the top, which is very exciting.
Yeah, it's good to see.
But never push the valve.
No.
Because you'll end up with beer on your lap.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone would know that.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's essentially just a basic matter
don't
of traffic.
Oh, watch the valve.
I wonder if the thing that will obviously happen will happen. Oh, it has.
Yeah. Good to get a reminder.
It's not magic, turns out.
Yeah. Some people like beer a lot more than the fact that plastic cups are annoying, so they'll carry on drinking.
Yeah. And why does plastic make beer worse?
Well, I think there are, as far as I remember, and I'm about to be pulled up on this, I'm sure, that in a proper pint glass, there are little scores of grooves about an inch up from the bottom, which encourage bubbles.
Oh.
So I think that's why it tastes better in a proper pint glass. I'm sure we haven't got time for this.
We're not living in a lager world in 2017.
We're not, though. None of us are.
You know, everyone's gone real ill.
Yeah, they have craft beer, isn't it?
IPA, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the Indian Premier League. Egg.
Marcus, you want to just stop Pete?
Yeah,
No, I think I don't want to hear more. Do we think Man City, the title is Chelsea's now, isn't it? Surely.
Marcus, you're big on this. Chelsea are definitely going to do it.
Yeah, I am, yeah. They almost certainly are, I think would be the argument.
Yeah, I think...
You're not having the Spurs revival is what's happening here, isn't it?
No, because they're still 7 points ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea are 1-4 team with Bet365 to lift the title. So £10 on that return is £10.71, including stake. Mm. There is a way, for those who aren't aware, of converting odds that are compiled by Bet365 into a percentage chance. So you can, based on the price and the odds, you can glean a percentage chance from that. Bet365 have Chelsea's a 93.3% chance to win the title, with Spurs as a 9.1% chance. So that tells us
like quantum leap. That
I know. Well, and so Spurs are 10-1 with Bet365 still. Mm. I do think I said on Monday 6 points for me as a title race. I crunched a few more numbers before I came in. United had a 6-point lead fairly late on, and I think March in 1992 and blew it. Obviously Newcastle, we won't go into that, Pete. Mm. United blew it in the second half of the 2003-04 season as well. Was that when Rio Ferdinand was suspended for missing a drugs test? I think it was. And Arsenal had a 5-point lead in 2008 with 10 games left, and they blew that as well. So yeah, there is a precedent for it to go close. Of course, we know Leicester did well last season and closed it out. But I don't think, I think if Chelsea get through Bournemouth and United away unscathed, the first of which is this weekend, it's done. I think Chelsea will win it, but I think you can't say they're definitely going to win it until those two games are out of the way, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Manchester City, they bought a Uruguayan second division side, Atletico Torque, I think that's pronounced, and a Venezuelan Primera Division side, Atletico Venezuela.
It's strange, isn't it? Because they have a club in Japan as well as...
It's not that strange, Jim.
Are they going for a team of teams, like 11?
Well, yeah.
It's
not that strange because if you read what the City Group, I believe, is the company that owns it all, they want to own a football club on each continent.
Oh, no, I understand that. I just feel that...
Oh, the concept's strange.
That anybody is doing that is strange.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. No, that's
fair. I know it's to increase the scouting networks and stuff, but it just seems a bit sort of like cynical and
in every continent. I'm thinking of one in particular.
Antarctica? Is that what you're thinking?
It's kind of like...
Build a side, Antarctica City.
Pete, I think you and all the listeners too know that Marcus meant populated continent.
Yeah, right, okay. Is that not how it's been populated?
I think we can all agree...
Are penguins not people, Luke?
You need...
By the very definition.
they are bipeds.
Yeah, exactly.
But you need... I think let's all agree as a base standard to start from. To play football, you need human beings.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Can penguins be bipeds if they've only got 2 feet?
Yeah, that's what a biped means.
No, bipedal means you stand up on two feet, two of four, isn't it?
Yeah, well, humans don't have 4 feet, do they?
They could do. That's what they evolved from.
They could do.
They're very similar, aren't they?
Have you been to my laboratory?
they're very similar, aren't they? Arms and legs.
I'm so close. I think this is the initial chat in the City Group when they said, let's have a team on each continent. They were talking about whether penguins classify as human beings.
I'm never invited in those meetings.
No.
That's to their detriment, not yours.
Because that's tough questions.
Pete, when you're there, those meetings rumble on.
Because he asks tough questions. Yeah. I feel that you give tough answers, actually.
Yeah, Secretary of State from the Ramble, Pete Dawson.
they want each team to have City in their name. So we see Melbourne City, where Roy Hodgson's going to be a consultant.
Yeah. New York City, of course.
Because
they
set up against the much weaker side. and then New York City, of course. Yeah. Whereas I think they might come unstuck with Atletico Venezuela, because you're not going to call them City Atletico or Atletico City.
No.
They probably will go, but you can't have Venezuela City, can you?
They haven't thought it through.
It's like Mexico City, isn't it?
They should kibosh the whole deal.
On that alone.
Yeah, my goodness. What about Man City's away kit at Chelsea was slagged off a bit.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not new, though, is it? They've had it all season.
I know, but it was still a bit slagged off, Jim.
Well, it's daft, isn't it? It looks like a lolly.
I'm trying to lead that into the Gillingham away kit.
Okay? I knew there'd be a reason.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I see.
I don't feel that's my fault.
Okay. well, Gillingham, they nearly didn't have their away kit during their midweek game, as the kit man forgot to bring it to their match at MK Dons. Fortunately, the kits arrived 15 minutes before kickoff, but the kit man got sacked.
Well, he's not done his job, has he, by any stretch of the description of it?
Well, how many times? I mean, I don't think he's done it before.
No, I mean, it's very harsh. I mean, a man's lost his job there for one. I typed into Google to see if there are any kit man job vacancies going, to see if the Gillingham one would come up.
Few and far between.
It didn't. But I did find one from a couple of years ago from Stevenage with a job description. They have to do quite a lot of stuff. And one of the things that stuck out for me was that they have to do all the boot cleaning stuff now. So
even at
level of Stevenage, with all due respect to them, the apprentices aren't cleaning the boots. And we've talked about this before. The kit man has to clean every single set of boots for every player.
Apprentices haven't cleaned boots for years.
It's bad, though, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yeah, well, I think the players always used to talk about the apprentices, didn't they? That I think Paul Gascoigne used to clean Chris Waddle's boots.
Yeah. Right, okay.
I think that was the case at Newcastle. Yeah.
I think, he didn't refuse to do it, and that's why we know about that story.
I think really?
Didn't he throw them away?
No, probably dog telling them or something.
Yeah, right. I think he did it badly.
Yeah.
And Waddle had a go at him. Mm. But yeah, they used to clean, obviously, first team players' boots, but that doesn't happen. And people, it's one of those ones where people say, that's ridiculous making apprentices doing that. And then other people say, well, that shows them a bit of humility and a bit more about what the club's.
That cat is well and truly out of the bag, isn't it?
on the Stephen in his job description of the key roles, responsibilities and duties.
Is one of them bring the kit?
Yeah, that's number one. Mm. To be responsible for all first team player and staff training and match kit. To be fair, Jim, that is number one. I won't bore you with all of them, but there's 16 key responsibilities. So it's a bit more involved than perhaps you guys might think. But yeah, I don't particularly like Man City's change. It's their change kit, isn't it? Not their away kit.
Is that right?
I think it might be. Yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But I'm not a huge fan of it either. It's almost like they're trying to ape the Barcelona one, isn't it?
Well, it's pretty much the same kit, isn't it? Just in a slightly different...
I think it might have a little bit more blue in it, possibly.
I don't like these new sort of gradient kits that start off one colour.
That's what I'm getting at.
It's not right.
That's what I'm getting at,
I remember seeing a print dress in Peacocks, where I used to work in Hartlepool, like a naff kind of shop. And I remember thinking, right, that looks too good for it not to catch on.
Okay.
And I remember thinking, this fashion is going to get worse now because of gradients.
Do you know what I think? printed
gradients.
I think you said you were there at the death of fashion.
I was there at the death of fashion, guys. You see me dress.
I think football kits should be like those T-shirts you had. Was it in the 80s or maybe the
90s? Global hypercolour.
Yeah. So you can see who's been working.
Yeah. I think that's fair. We talked about that before. We get a little performance-related kit.
Yeah, and slap someone and they have a little handprint on their shirt.
I think in pre-season the players wear those. They almost look like bras underneath. And I think they send back data to computers.
Yeah, because they've always got little lumps on their back. They sometimes play them in pre-season matches as well.
You're right.
It's on the way.
If someone hits you on the back, though, ooh.
Yeah, you should be facing the right way, really.
My goodness. Yeah. Middlesbrough are playing Burnley at home. Goal fest written all over it.
Yeah, it might be now, because it seems to be that the one thing that's happened from sacking Karanka is Middlesbrough can't defend anymore, which is all they had.
Poor old Middlesbrough. that's probably the last thing Middlesbrough fans want to hear. But they scored 2 in one game.
That's a progress.
That's a positive.
And that's only the fifth time this season they've managed to score 2 goals or more, and they conceded 4 in the one game for the first time this season.
They've
conceded fewer goals than Liverpool this season in the Premier League. Defensively, generally speaking, it's not been their problem.
What about Hull City, though? Could they go to Man City and get something?
Oh, imagine it.
I mean, they are playing well under...
But at home, they're good.
You think City will win, and therefore Hull will get the silver medal?
Yeah, I think Hull might get a very creditable second place in that game.
But, since Marco Silva took over, it's only Chelsea, Spurs and Everton that have got that have won more points than Hull.
That's incredible.
I've got a friend of mine who's a Middlesbrough fan, has been swearing blind for weeks. Ages ago,
like, just leave it there,
like Christmas time. Burnley are going to get their first away win of the season at Riverside. He said to me, like, in January, mark my words, that is what's going to happen.
Pylon.
And I thought that was very charming. So
Middlesbrough desperately need to win that game. Yeah. I mean, they're all but down. You could argue.
Yeah.
They're relegated.
They're not up to it, are they?
Burnley are 9-4 with Bet365 to win and prove that Middlesbrough fan right. So £10 will return £32.50, including stake. It's hard to see. I mean, hard to see Middlesbrough getting out of this one, even if they do win that game. I mean, they're still right in the soup. They're still going to be at least 4 points in there.
Yeah, Burnley got a vital win at home against Stoke, didn't they? Because Burnley were looking over their shoulder, and when a lot of people, myself included, thought a number of weeks ago, oh yeah, Burnley are fine, then you look at the table again, I think there were 5 points above the relegations, and you think, bloody hell, lads, you might need three points in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just about did it. The big moment of that game, of course, was when Charlie Adam tried to take a corner.
Oh, this was amazing.
Possibly my highlight of the season, that.
If you haven't seen that, pause this. Go and Google YouTube Charlie Adam trying to take the corner.
Especially it just put me in mind of Ferguson's £10 million corners comment about Adam.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, I mean, people can go watch it, but I'll describe it. He tries to take a quick corner, kicks the corner flag, falls over, knees the ball onto his own hand, and commits a handball.
Yeah, I love it.
He just drags it back
to try and take it again.
That's what happened.
Yeah,
he commits handball while trying to grab the ball back. Right.
Yeah. He didn't kick the corner flag. He stumbles on the ground.
Oh, that's right.
When he's just about to start his run up and stumbles over and it hits his thigh.
Allow me to explain what didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's what didn't happen. Marcus, over to you.
It's the worst corner of all time.
It's great.
It is, because at least if... I don't know. At least if, like, you put it out the other side for a throw, and you can box them in or something. You know?
Pete, have you taken many corners in your time?
No, I can't get a ball further than like 10 feet.
Is that
dreadful? That kind of thing.
Well, just spin it properly. So no, because I'm a danger in the box.
Pete, I'm fox in the box, mate.
Pete, you sometimes go in goal, don't you? Every now and then.
I've flapped it a few. Yeah.
Do you get someone to take your bye kicks for you?
Oh, yeah, goddamn it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's lovely.
Definitely.
That's
and lovely. Drop kick like a mother. It's really annoying that I can't kick.
Can't just
normally.
Drop kick goal kicks.
Yeah.
Goal drop kick.
What you should do is get what you want to do next time you get a goal kick, you're in goal. Knock it out to the centre back who can head it back to you, then you can boot out.
There you go.
It's a system.
Or just go, ref, look at that over there, and then pick it up and boot it.
I'll tell you now, Marcus, Guardiola's team will be doing that next year.
Oh, dear. West Ham are playing Swansea at home. Hammers have lost.
After their gubbing.
Yes. Hammers have lost five in a row. They're only 5 points above the drop zone. They need a win there. This was after winning a number of games in December and January, and everyone thought, West Ham are grand. They're perhaps on for a top 10 finish. Still could be. I think spots 9 and 10 are pretty much up for grabs. I think West Brom are pretty safe in 8th position. I say safe in 8th position, do you know what I mean?
They're 7 points above 9th, so yeah.
I think they'll be fine there. But Bilic, his position is constantly under threat, which probably doesn't help, Jim, but they do need a win.
They really do. It's been such an up-and-down season for them as well, and there's a lot of unrest amongst the fans. Did you see Karen Brady's tweet about the desserts at Arsenal, which went out just after the game? And a lot of West Ham fans were not happy about that.
What did she say?
She just tweeted a picture of the sort of the corporate dessert thing they have at the Emirates. Like, this is brilliant. Look at what a nice time I'm having after they'd just been pretty abject.
No, okay, right. Someone was saying to me a week or so ago they feared for West Ham. And I sort of thought, as you just touched on, Marcus, I sort of instinctively dismissed it.
Yeah.
But now that they've obviously really got the momentum against them, but in their favour, they probably only need 4 more points, and they've still got to play Sunderland and obviously have Swansea this weekend. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of teams dropping like a stone.
If you pick up no points against those two teams, you might argue they deserve to be relegated.
That's right. But that's why this is such a crucial one, because Swansea are now in the drop zone.
It's mad, isn't it? As we were saying on the show on Monday, it's probably Sunderland and Middlesbrough you would think are pretty much definitely down, but that third spot could be one of about 4 teams.
Yeah.
It literally is 4 teams. Swansea, Hull, Crystal Palace and West Ham. You'd probably say Burnley have just about enough. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. On average, you need 36, 37 points. I mean, Burnley are on 35 and so are Bournemouth. It's impossible to imagine either of them not getting at least one or two more points. Yeah.
But it just seems like every week, like one team manages to snatch, you know, a defeat from the jaws of victory, and then there's another mouth like an alien. And that's victory. Yeah. It's so strange.
But look what happened last night with Spurs turning around against Swansea. I mean, Spurs played all right. They seemed to play pretty well, and they just couldn't get it going. And then Vincent Janssen came on, turned the game.
Yeah.
That set up for Son's goal was an absolute beauty.
Through the legs.
The only thing that's holding me back from saying that he's going to be pretty good next season is this situation about where he plays, because obviously Kane's always going to be first choice. But it looks to me that Janssen, who's still pretty young, looks a decent player, and it could be a good asset for them from the bench. And Spurs were able to turn that around. So, as you say, Pete, it can happen. And all of a sudden, Swansea now look bang in trouble, because their home form as well has been decent, and they've got some good players in their team. They go away to West Ham, both teams desperate for a win. You could see that perhaps being a draw, and that doesn't really help either team. Yeah. So it's going to be all to play for in that game. And West Ham are evens to win that with Bet365. So £10 returns £20, including the stake.
Yeah, as we always say, and as a lot of people say, it's about momentum. And Swansea had a bit of momentum a little while ago, as did West Ham. They've sort of stuttered a little bit. Palace have suddenly got a bit of momentum, even though they lost against Southampton. So they look like that they're probably going to get away. Leicester have got an enormous amount of momentum, but they are the champions, so they bloody should.
15 points in their last 5 games.
Do you know they could technically finish third?
Oh my goodness. But on the West Ham thing, I really question the wisdom of undermining Bilic at regular intervals throughout the season. So he had that problem to deal with where they did pretty well last season. So he had the new stadium thing to start with, which was tough for them all. Then they had the Payet thing to deal with, which I thought he dealt with quite well. And as you said, Marcus, around sort of January time, they started doing okay, didn't they? And now they've got this run they're in where Bilic seems to be criticising the players quite a lot, saying they need to work hard and all this other stuff. And in the background of that, we constantly had the ball at West Ham. I don't know if they're undermining him, but certainly he's not really had assurances on his future, which is a little bit unsettling, to say the least.
Well, especially because they're so visible as well.
But why are these rumours coming out with like 9 games left? You're not going to replace the manager now. Yeah. It's not going to happen. They're not going to do it. So why do they keep sort of mentioning that they might, which only seems to sort of unsettle the team and unsettle the fans? And it's been difficult for them this season anyway, trying to consolidate when this new stadium's come along. So I think, you know, there's a few other bits and pieces to blame other than just Bilic.
Well, they've had a lot of problems, sorry, yeah, Pete, with Andre Ayew and Andy Carroll being injured as well. Like they've had.
You're going to have that, though, aren't you?
With Andy Carroll, that comes
with Carroll, absolutely. Yeah. It does, but Ayew was one of the big signings who was supposed to fix that striker problem, and that's not worked out. And that's just largely unfortunate, isn't it? Just because he's been injured. And, you know, Bilic can't really account for that.
Bilic is a good, honest manager, but I do think he's a slightly limited manager on the field. But you can't help when the players, you're consistently undermined by the people who are you know, signing the checks and paying your bills, yeah, and stuff. And it's kind of like, if you're a player under Bilic now, you sort of go, well, he might not be here in 3 months' time, so who the hell, what's the point of me working out an impression?
I'm not going to do anything. Yeah. That's what some players feel like, sadly. On that point, though, Jim, I mean, it is only fair and balanced to say that West Ham haven't really had trouble scoring goals this season compared to other teams. I mean, it's only Bournemouth in the bottom half who scored more than them. They've scored more than sort of West Brom, and they're in eighth. So they haven't had necessary problems scoring goals. I just think there's a lot more at play rather than just the manager who they sort of seem set on. I mean, you can never really tell because you don't know where the rumours come from. It's not like they're coming out saying, well, we want rid of him. But so it's always a bit of a guessing game. But I don't think they don't seem united in behind him, which isn't going to help matters, because I maintain now, with however many games there are left, 8 or 9 games, they're not going to change the manager. So don't pretend you are. Just get behind him.
We're going to talk more Premier League after this.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody. Oh, I told you we were going to be back, didn't I? It's now time for some emails with Pete Donaldson.
It is time for some emails of me. Hello to a young man by the name of Tom. He was a little bit upset from the Monday show because we didn't mention the Coventry-Oxford match, obviously, in the final. They were fantastic. It was a really, really good...
I didn't see the game,
really good in Coventry, fantastic, so apologies for that. Hello also to... hi, Ramble lads. This is from Stephen, a Geordie in China, apparently.
Ooh. I wonder how this one got in.
Continuing on my from an email on last week's show about Sean Wright Phillips, I thought I'd share one of my own footballing stories. I do like these. It's nice to see another side of us. I was working in my local supermarket around the corner from Newcastle. Nobby Solano would come in for filleted cod every now and again, which is very nice. One Friday night we were visited by probably the fans' favourite player at the time, a small, fast Nigerian striker, Obafemi Martins. I bet he was getting buying vitamins for his definitely 25-year-old body. Anyway, I looked in his shopping trolley.
Probably cod liver oil, wasn't it?
he had a lot of stuff in his shopping trolley. This is what I found: one times multi pack of tissues. He's written like a full receipt down here.
This is stalking.
Is this allowed?
One multi pack of tissues, one motoring magazine, tons of bottles of water, and 5 packets of condoms.
So that, good. That is an Alan Partridge purchase.
That's safety, isn't it? So thank you.
What a night.
Because of shows like ours, football players cannot go out in peace.
Exactly.
Safe in the knowledge that people aren't going to copy down what they're buying.
Yeah, that's right.
And if we can't be proud of that, we can't be proud of anything. Yeah.
It's a public equivalent of going down someone's bin, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really
going
is.
Down someone's bin. Yeah. How big is this bin? Oh, crazy. Alex Redfern, he wanted us to know that he read every last word of the Ramble book on the toilet. There was an anonymous email about Sean Wright Phillips and his love of Monster Munch, but I can't go into that because it's terribly salacious. Hello also to Ben in Wales. Settle in. This is a nice one. I like this one. I, like many, listened to Alex and Preston's analogy on Tuesday's Football Ramble, where he compared reluctance to implement video technology at the lower levels of football to be like discovering a cure for cancer and not administering it because you couldn't use it on the Welsh. As part of Wales's thriving life science research community, I was at that very moment looking at my spreadsheet outlining a preliminary synthesis run of 20 of my own therapeutic agents designed to target and destroy cancer cells.
Oh, I see. Wow. We have intelligent people listening to our show and everything.
Yeah, get that.
Previous synthesis runs have already resulted in two patents, and the long-term hope is that a number of these new drugs prove to be the potent cancer cell inhibitors. A world free of cancer. That's my dream, Alex. At least it was.
I have now this guy's literally trying to cure cancer.
I have now renamed the 20 agents as Alex Preston 1 through 20. I will make it my life's mission that none of my products will ever reach market and treat anyone outside Wales, and especially not in Preston. Any published scientific papers will include Alex's name and cite him as the reason why none of the work will ever be commercialised. Doctors at Preston Hospital will be mailed directly with an apology on Alex's behalf and a text copy of his email. So, Alex, by using the Welsh and a poor analogy, you've led to an entire generation of people being told, I'm afraid your cancer is untreatable because Alex and Preston thought he was being clever.
Yeah, Alex.
Who's laughing now, Alex? Yeah. Tens of thousands dead because of you.
I look forward to Alex's email in response to that.
This has got it's got potential to be like the medieval weaponry round.
I
don't like the cut of that man's jib.
the medieval weaponry chat got to such an extent that in one of the live shows we did, help me out, which one was it?
Birmingham, I think
it's a Birmingham show. You're right.
Right.
We met the chap.
A man turned up.
We met a chap talking about medieval weaponry, to which one other guy overheard and said, "Oh, my mate was one of the emails from medieval weaponry.
He was here at the show earlier."
But he's gone home and called him back from the bus stop so he can carry on talking about
that's
it.
That's right, yeah.
That's how intense the medieval weapon.
He rode his chariot back.
You know when you don't see things coming, it's sort of like, wow, is this really happening?
He came back with one of those maces.
Yeah. Is it a morning star?
He
had to leave it at the door.
Yeah.
One final one. Hello to... Oh, I've lost this guy's name, but I will find it for next week, promise. Long-time listener from sunny Aberdeen here. You know who you are. You're in Aberdeen. Now, you've had some great stories about parents and football, and how about one involving a parent or a player's mother? He's written parents' mother. That doesn't make any sense. A player's mother. Back in 2007, I worked in Aberdeen FC at the club shop. It was a great job, and you get to bond with the players and staff in the club, even though one veteran player kept bringing his kid in and thinking we'd babysit him.
That's excellent.
That being said, my favourite experience happened when the club released our new kit for the season. After dealing with all the queues that morning, the afternoon was quiet, and two unassuming middle-aged ladies walked up to the desk with 8 full strips piled up between them. My manager and I scanned everything and bagged it up when they then took the bags and started to leave without thanking us or even paying.
What?
The latter was quite important. We called them back and a little argument ensued. It turned out that one of the women was the mother of a new youth player at the club. She tried the whole "don't you know who my son is" routine, which of course we didn't. My manager actually phoned through to a member of the coaching staff to see if they were a real person. With that out of the way, we explained that just because she was the player's mum didn't mean she couldn't steal things from the shop. She asked if she could take 3 of the kits rather than all 8, and she got the same answer. After a bit of back and forth, she left in a huff without any of the kits, leaving my manager to say to me, "Well, her boy's probably not going to make it." Her son was Peter Paulett, who'd go on to be one of the club's most popular players over the next decade.
Wow.
Shows how much we knew.
The worst thing about that is actually thinking about having to hang all the kits back on the shelf.
That's annoying. Yeah.
I used to work in a sports shop, and that was annoying.
Yeah. When you buy anything in like a clothes shop, do you kind of make sure you kind of put it back the way it was?
Yeah,
every time.
But the good thing, a lot of clothes shops, they have a situation where you can, when you try it on, you could give the ones you don't want to the attendant and they put it back. But
I can't even bring myself to do that. I've got to take it back.
The worst thing is, I used to work at a supermarket and stacking the shelves. And the worst thing, even now, it annoys me when I walk around the supermarket and someone has meant to buy something, but they've seen something else instead, and they've just put that back in that place.
Yes, it's not even the same product.
Yeah, because my part of my job would have been to go and put that back. It's really lazy, so I always make sure I go and put stuff back in the supermarket.
Good on you, Luke.
I hope that answers your question.
Good deeds with Luke Ball. You're still doing the same job, but just not paid.
Good deeds with Luke Ball. That won't be a very long feature, let me tell you that.
So if you want to get in touch with the show, short@thefootballramble.com.
Yeah. There it is. Sunderland are hosting Manchester United, the David Moyes derby. Has Moyes got this one down as a win in his book?
No. He's got nothing.
Has he got anything down as a win in his book, apart from when he gets the sack?
He's lost his book.
He's just got, "when I get the sack equals win."
Yeah, it's very strange at Man United at the moment, isn't it? Mourinho is very much adopted a sort of third season approach to how he's digging his players out every 10 minutes.
He's fast-tracked it, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's
just because he's fuming because Eden Hazard is so good.
Yeah.
I think so. When you say poor old Luke Shaw, though, but if Luke Shaw, if Mourinho's right, then Luke Shaw's got to pull his socks up.
Oh, absolutely. But like, did you see what he said after the game? Which was that, it effectively said, yes, Luke Shaw had a good game, but it was because I was leading his performance. He effectively said that he was his brain. And, you know, that may be true, it may be fair enough, but, you know, he's dug him out once already and he's done it again. Like, he is sort of like, it's almost bullying at this point, isn't it?
You can't dig him out, put him on, and then he plays well and you go,
Yeah. Didn't Mourinho actually say that he only played well because he was on Mourinho's side of the pitch? Yeah. And I had to do all his thinking for him and tell him what to do. If he was on the other side of the pitch, i.e. if we were playing the other way, he wouldn't have played. That's what he was implying.
Yeah, I find that quite hard to believe. I mean, Luke Shaw has been... Look, his price tag alone shows you how good he is. Now, his attitude may be a little bit in the wrong direction, if you don't know. Yeah. He may be focusing on different things. But as you say, Jim, I mean, it's a fair point. Mourinho, like, he should say after the game, yeah, he played better and he needs more of that.
Yeah.
You know, encourage him rather than
keep
just
the rest of that indoors.
Yeah.
I do think that Mourinho obviously can be a bit of a pain in the arse and be a bit, you know, a bit of a wrong-un sometimes. We all know that. But if I'm trying to play devil's advocate here, I'm thinking certain players clearly need to be encouraged and need to be looked after and as they say in the old cliche, the old Harry Redknapp eye around the shoulder, the old Terry Venables. Some clearly need a kick up the arse. If Luke Shaw, we don't know Luke Shaw, right? So I'm not suggesting it's even the right approach, even if this is the case, but just to put it out there, if Luke Shaw is one of those players who needs a big kick up the arse to focus himself, I think Mourinho's probably been the best place to understand that. I mean, yeah. Mourinho, for all the chat about Mourinho ruining players and doing this, doing that, hanging people out to dry, you know, he's a fairly successful football manager. He clearly gets it right more often than he gets it wrong. He knows what he's doing. It doesn't ring true to me at this stage in his Man United career, Mourinho, for him to be doing this for no reason.
Of course.
Think there's probably a bit more to it than him just hanging the player out.
Well, he clearly seems to care, because usually you just get rid of the player. You know what I mean? He'd just be like, well, I'm not
playing
yet.
He still might do
that. I was going to say, he could be putting him in the shop window. I mean,
but he tried to buy him at Chelsea, didn't he? Like, a couple of years ago, anyway.
Did he?
So maybe he's just annoyed
that he didn't criticise Man United for paying so much for him? Didn't he say that this transfer would cripple Chelsea?
Wow, okay. So
like that.
That would have been an interesting meeting the first time Mourinho rocked up, I'm sure.
No, it was more to do with the idea of paying 30 million for a teenager, I think.
Okay, fair enough.
My goodness.
At the time.
Manchester United, people are saying that Mourinho is obviously deflecting their poor performances with this kind of thing. They've drawn more games than any other team in the league so far this season. They're by far the lowest scorers in the top 10. Bournemouth have scored more goals than Manchester United in the league this season so far. Although they've only lost three times and only Spurs have got that as well.
I'm very unlucky with the Zlatan goal as well. I don't think that was offside.
Well, but even if it wasn't, Jim, you know, those statistics are still the same. And they are so many draws that Manchester United should be a few points higher than they are. Is Mourinho trying to deflect it? Because he often tries to deflect stuff. Now, we saw at Chelsea, he spectacularly fell out with the players. Communication completely broke down. He did that a little bit at Real Madrid. As you say, could be the third season happening right now, although there does seem to be a bit more belief in him.
Absolutely. Well, I think the thing is, with the draws thing is, you just, it's not like they're losing stupid games, is it? It's they're close to, but you know, a lot of these draws have been very, very tight, and you can see how it's not going to take a huge amount for them to kick on and turn some of those into wins and be much more of a force next season. So,
well, they're not losing any games. When you say they're not losing any games,
three games all season, was it?
Yeah, they haven't lost for ages.
That's amazing. But so
they do have a severe lack of cartonation, though. I mean,
that's it, isn't it? If they can get Griezmann, I know he's been linked there an awful lot, but Griezmann, not particularly him, because he's said enough times he doesn't want to go because of the weather and whatnot. If they can get a top quality forward, Aubameyang they've been linked to, somebody like that.
What they don't have is someone who can consistently provide a real thrust and, like I say, cut an edge to their attack. So you've got Zlatan, who's clearly
they've been over reliant on him.
But he's having a good season. But he's not that type of player anyway.
No.
He's not. Zlatan's not going to pick up a ball and drive 30 yards with it, cut a team open like Hazard does. Mm. And I think they possibly thought Pogba would do that, and he's clearly having a bit of an patchy time of it and not having it all his own way at the moment. It's not beyond the realms of possibility to imagine him being far better next season. But the Premier League's very competitive these days, and United are probably going to finish, what, fifth or sixth? You know, fifth at a premium.
Well, they're back in the sixth.
Yeah, they've
back
been in sixth is where they feel comfortable.
Yeah, that's right. An old jumper.
In their snug.
I don't see them finishing lower than sixth, but I mean, and it looks like United need to build on that. Mourinho needs to build on that. And don't forget, they've still got the Europa League.
And they have won a trophy.
And they won the League Cup, of course.
They won the League Cup. Sunderland were beaten 2-0 by Leicester, who have won five in a row, as you said earlier. Vardy scored a lovely goal, didn't he?
Back.
Yeah.
guys, as I say, Shakespeare is in great company of teams, managers who've won their first five Premier League games. My goodness, he's only about three other managers.
Isn't it six now? Isn't it six games he's won?
Six games, it's five Premier League games.
Right, of course.
Yeah, which is what the stat was around, and it was around, and I think only... I mean, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but I think it's like Ancelotti, Guardiola, maybe one other manager.
It might have been Mourinho, I think.
Right.
Shakespeare must be about third in line to the throne.
Yeah, come on.
Shot right up there.
Pete and I were saying this on the Forza Ramble.
With that name as well.
Yeah, of course, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it'd be wonderful to see him in charge of England, wouldn't it? Of course, Jamie Vardy, you know, the Premier League's gain was Ibiza's loss. Because Jamie Vardy apparently nearly quit football in 2013 to go and be a holiday rep in Ibiza.
How many have we lost? Have we lost to Ibiza that we don't know about?
When I heard this, I was like, all right, yeah, well, he used to play in the non-league, and yeah, that's fair enough, sort of, you know. He was playing for Leicester in the Championship then.
Yeah.
So it's not even though he was playing in the league.
It was his first season, wasn't it, for Leicester, and he only scored five goals.
Yeah, he moved
having
in
come up from non-league, I'd be all right with that. I think, yeah, it's progress. You know, it's not great, but I can kick on. But he was going to go to Ibiza.
The ambitions of the man.
I think it does. I think it's a case of, you know, yeah, I'm good at football, but Ibiza is my calling. That's why I really party rep. I can see Donaldson as a party rep.
Yeah, Linekers.
Donny, 10 years ago, you'd have been an absolute top draw Ibiza.
No, it wasn't. It was too much of a sort of punky kid for that.
Yeah, not very good at... Maybe if Ibiza Rocks existed back then.
Okay,
but
right.
No, I was very much disorganised as I am now, and also I wasn't very good at speaking to people. Still
not. Oh, yeah, you're not, actually. Are you? That's fair enough. Yeah, I've dropped the ball there a bit, haven't I?
Yeah.
I was thinking about you just... Because all you do is spend your time out on the piss at like 2 a.m, so I thought it might fit. If the cap fits.
Yeah.
If the fluorescent cap with Tiesto on the front.
But that's because he's running from something.
Okay,
he's not trying to bring others into something.
I do like Tiesto is an underused and underrated comedic touchstone.
Thank you. I'll add it to my list.
Add it to your list.
I don't think any of us would be good party reps.
No, I certainly would. I'm 36.
Yeah. Jim?
I think you know I would be a party rep.
I'm trying to think, are any of us like good at like herding like vast amount. Lord Ramble, maybe.
Well, you guys think I'm good at telling people what to do, so that might be...
Well, you like an early night, though.
I do love an early night.
Well, right, 10:30,
I don't know, get your work done early and you can get off.
Yeah, true, yeah. But I don't think you could be a club rep at a holiday destination.
Yeah,
you're not going to bed by like 10:00.
Yeah, but if you're amazing at it and you fill the club up...
I won't be amazing at it.
I'd be useless. It's fine if you don't want to drink.
Yeah.
Although maybe pints of Baileys all round.
Speaking of party reps, Big Sam's Palace against Arsenal.
Beware, Arsenal. Oh, yeah.
Sam Allardyce, party liaison.
Palace's winning streak came to an end against Southampton. But can they get back on the wagon against Arsenal?
Can you imagine any wagon he'd rather get back on? He would love this. He's going to smell blood, isn't he?
Arsenal got a good win against West Ham.
We did.
We know West Ham are struggling, but Wenger says that the confidence is back.
Yeah, well, Theo Walcott was quite interesting. He said that once Ozil scored, all the sort of stress of the past few weeks just sort of lifted from the team.
Captain Theo Walcott.
Yeah, his goal was good. I think we didn't nominate a captain in the second half against City or something.
Right?
I think
we
might be getting
fined
for it. Yeah.
What do you do, as an Arsenal fan? I'm not trying to take the what's it. But
you don't need to say that anymore.
What do you think? What do you think of a club you support having Theo Walcott as a captain?
Well, he scored a goal. He's having a good season, and I said this on the show the other week. Like, I think that's his 18th or 19th goal this season. And Theo Walcott is often a sort of touchstone for someone who doesn't work hard enough, who's a bit mercurial. And it's not a completely unfounded criticism, but this season, I think he's one of the few to emerge with some credit. So I think based on his current form, he should be a captain in that side.
I think an underwhelming kind of.
It's not just about that.
He's not Keane, is he? But at the moment, in the context, I think there are worse candidates.
I just think every Premier League team should have to nominate their keeper as captain. I've decided.
I just find it funny that, as you say, with that the captain, they never nominated a captain for the second half against Man City. Arsenal.
That's indicative of a wider problem, isn't it?
Exactly. That's absolutely.
Maybe they did, but no one would touch it.
Yeah. In another universe, somebody like Ozil should be the captain. You know what I mean? He's a decorated footballer.
Lead by example.
He's seen everything. He's done everything. He came for a big chunk of money. But
runs his heart out.
No, but again, I go back to, and actually, to be fair,
God knows he's
running
near the ball.
Better than you think.
Yeah.
But I think this is Walcott's reputation rather than his current form.
Well, I've actually met Theo Walcott. I've interviewed him, and he's a. I mean, I've got
and he said he never wanted to be a captain. Did you do any orienteering together?
No, I've got nothing bad to say about the guy, but he was very, very nice, very gentle guy, kind of guy. And I understand. Look, I'm not completely naive. You're not going to get to that level as an athlete without being really desiring it and really hard working. Mm. I understand all that, but I'm just thinking, and I'm not talking about his performances. I agree with largely what you said. I'm just thinking about
or his Southampton background.
The classic Premier League captains aren't of the character that Theo Walcott are. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I was interested in your opinion on it, because if you look back at the captains, not just in the Premier League, but that Arsenal have had over the years, it's a little bit of a, is it, as Pete said, indicative of the problem more widely that they don't have anyone? Because as Keane himself said a number of weeks ago, if you're ending the game with Kieran Gibbs as your captain, you've got problems in the dressing room. Well, and I think it's an interesting angle.
Well, the fact that I said Captain Theo Walcott, I agree with you, Luke. Mm. I think that Walcott, his form might have been decent, Jim.
But it's not like he's being made permanent captain. It's a temporary measure.
Arsenal were 750-1 to win the Premier League this year. So £10 on that will return you £7,510, including your stake.
I honestly thought you were going to say for the win.
No, I think you take the mick there. That's hilarious.
No.
Yeah, but they're not going to.
No, it's true.
But are you scared of the Big Sam Party Bus, Jim, this weekend?
No more than I normally would be. Okay. So a little bit, but as we've touched on before, sort of. Big Sam's record against Arsenal is perhaps a little bit overstated. He's not had as many wins over Wenger as you would think, and a lot of them came a long time ago. But they are in good form, and you know, I know they had a slip up against Southampton, but they desperately need to address that.
They showed something in that game against Southampton. It wasn't like they rolled over completely.
There's a lot of fight there, and Sacco played well again. And I think, this is a tricky one. Arsenal absolutely have to build on the last two results and get something here, really. So it's tough to sort of to call how this is going to go, but I think the confidence is coming back. And
yeah, Arsenal are only 4 points behind Man City with a game in hand, 6 points behind them with two games in hand. You know, I know that there's a lot of game in hand chat there, but it's a lot rosier. Not rosier, it's a bit better than what it was after that win, because you think to yourself, Arsenal could finish as low as seventh.
Well, City losing was big for us too. So there's an aim there now. It's you know, the aim for a long time has had to have been like salvage the top four, but it's a lot more achievable, you know, as the table is at the moment.
Well, what happens is, because Arsenal is such a big narrative, and because what's happening with the fans and with Arsene Wenger,
everyone looks worst case scenario.
It goes way over the top, and all of a sudden you think, and it happens all the time with Arsenal, you think, oh, hang on a minute, oh, they've got a reasonably good chance here of finishing in the four again. They have. And then I know it's the most boring thing in the world, just talking about Arsenal top four, but they do still have a chance. The takeaway from the West Ham game, I thought, was Emiliano Martinez playing in goal.
Yeah, I know.
I did a bit of a Twitter search earlier, which I understand isn't really, you know, it's hardly forensic, but there seems to be a lot of positivity around him, a lot of sort of hope from Arsenal fans for him for the future as maybe a long-term replacement for Cech. It's honestly the first time I've ever even heard of him, so I don't know if there's any future in that, but Cech is going to be 35 next month, I think, so clearly they need some sort of a long-term replacement. He spent a bit of time out on loan at Football League Club, so it'd be interesting to know if any listeners have seen him play, what they think of him, because I've not seen him yet.
Are we ready for our bet of the week?
We are ready for our bet of the week, Jack Kay is still in the hot seat. I'm going through a bit of a phase at the moment. If our listeners are in the hot seat winning one bet of the week with Bet365,
then just completely messing it up.
So,
looking like absolute idiots.
Yeah. I'd argue that the last one overstretched too far.
Well, that's possibly true, I think. And for that reason, Jack Kay, who's still in there, has gone for Spurs -1 on the handicap market.
Okay.
Versus Watford, which is currently 4-5. So that means Spurs need to win by two goals or more for that to land. £50 on that will return us £90, including the stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, go to begambleaware.org. So our bet of the week with Bet365 is Spurs -1 against Watford.
It's worth noting that Watford have never beaten Spurs in the Premier League.
There you go.
I like the fact that they don't just go, oh, a Spurs win.
No.
Because that would be a bit too obvious. I like the fact that he's
you get, you science. Obviously, you get a bit of a handicap in there. Spurs are in great form. I think they're the form team in 2017. Bit of a handicap in there, you get better value. So, it makes sense. Looking forward to seeing what happens. Jack could be the first ever Bet of the Week nominee to go beyond the second week.
Incredible.
We'll even hope.
Let's look ahead to the weekend, Luke.
Yeah, do you want to? I mean, Marcus, you want to kick this off with a. You and Pete want to jump in a bit of Keith Stroud?
I hope Keith Stroud gets all his big calls right.
Well, he's not. His only big call's going to be in McDonald's, whether he wants a supersize or not, because he's been chucked off the Gillingham match for being naughty boy.
It was appalling, though, wasn't it? That is up there with the worst Rafa decisions
Benitez,
ever, surely.
Rafa Benitez was so angry.
But he was actually quite... He didn't throw him under the bus, though, did he, Benitez? He still spoke with dignity.
He knows what he's done, that's why.
But people are saying, oh, Rafa Benitez, he knew the rules. It's like, yeah, everyone knows that rule.
It's not a difficult rule.
No, I mean, because I think people were just sort of going, what has he seen? I think they gave the refereeing whole team a bit too much credit, you know what I mean? It's like...
Oh, he must have spotted some infraction.
He must have spotted some kind of infraction, like a foul or something, but even then that should have been a yellow card. Not, all these kind of, like, choose-your-own-adventures kind of...
permutations.
It could have been something like, is it this? No. So for he those, just messed up catastrophically.
So for those who haven't seen it, was it Dwight Gale took a penalty?
No, it was Clark.
Clark took a penalty.
No, it was Matt Ritchie.
Ritchie.
Yeah, Dwight Gale infringed.
Get it right.
So for those of you listening, we haven't got a clue what happened.
Ritchie took a penalty.
Yeah.
He scored. And the referee,
Dwight Gale encroached.
And the referee thought that Dwight Gale encroached.
Yeah, so instead of ordering it to be retaken, which is how the laws of the game are, he awarded an indirect free kick to Burton Albion. Yeah. Preposterous. I tell you something now. If that happened in Sunday League, you would be fuming.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely fuming. Yeah, so to happen at the top, almost the top level is crazy. So anyway, Keith Stroud will be having a nice weekend.
But it's another reason we need video referees.
But it's not just. But it's not just him. It's still someone's interpretation, isn't it? Like, so they've got two assistants and the ones on the side as well. It's just crazy.
Yeah, but he's been taken off the Gillingham game.
Yeah.
He should have a pint with the former Gillingham kit man.
Yeah. He's booked his hotel.
Yeah.
You know, he might as well
it's funny because people have lost their jobs.
He's still a referee.
Yeah, I know.
For now.
Right, so anyway, let's get into the meat and bones of this. Do you remember last week, it might have been last week or possibly even Monday, someone got in touch with us talking about the LED man mascot.
Yes.
Bizarre mascot.
Why is it an LED?
Well, weirdly enough, I must have been dreaming about mascots because of that. Because the other day I woke up remembering that when Portsmouth were owned briefly by Terry Venables, and the least said about that, the better, because, mostly for legal reasons, LTEL was a mascot. There was a mascot at the club for a season called LTEL, and it was like an giant inflatable caricature of Terry Venables in a Pompey kit. It's basically a caricature of Terry Venables was the mascot for a season.
Felt Terry Venables.
Yeah, essentially.
So
weird. Yeah, if you look it up on the internet, you're going to see a picture of it.
Do you reckon he's still got that in his villa somewhere?
I would have thought so.
In a room instead of like one of those big bears.
I would have thought so. And before I go into the listeners' contributions, do you see Jesse Lingard sign a new deal?
Yeah, I did.
$100,000 a week.
Yeah.
Really?
He's played 43 Premier League games. He's 24.
He's got a cracker the other week.
Yeah, but wasn't it his only goal of the season?
He scored at the FA Cup final.
Yeah. He was probably, after that crackery score, he was running back to the bench going, that's worth 100k a week of anyone's money.
Isn't 100k a week just the bare minimum that a footballer gets paid?
Yeah, I guess
now,
it might be. Yeah, it might be. But certainly will be for those Newcastle players next season. Right, going to the listeners. Liam McPherson, he says, this is a big one. You guys will love this. He says, looking forward to this weekend, Morton v Hibbs. Duffy v Lennon 2.
Oh.
This time the handbags are off.
How come they're putting each other again so quick?
I don't know. Should I double check it's even happening? I didn't bother checking.
Yeah.
It is happening. They are
is it a special pay-per-view thing?
Did it get abandoned?
Yeah.
To replay it in that melee.
It's very rare I do this, but I would put the call out there today now saying every single Ramble listener should be on high alert for this.
Yeah.
We need info on this. If you're going to the game, fantastic.
Somebody tweeted me saying, I was a bit disappointed you didn't refer to it as a stramash.
A stramash. Yeah.
But it actually would be, as it was in Edinburgh, it would be a pagger.
Okay, so Alan McAnally's a big fan of the word stramash.
Is he?
It's like a traditional Scottish name for a fight, isn't it?
Mm. Well, this is where the correspondence goes crazy, but I think that's more of a Glaswegian word.
Okay. I know it's Scottish, that's all I know.
Yeah.
Christian Shuttleworth, looking forward to Rangers being on Sky Sports again away at Aberdeen this Sunday, so Ian Crocker can repeat his massive dig when describing Emerson Hyman's time at Rangers, and I quote, he's been so good, even Celtic might want him.
Oh, did you see it on the front, one of the, was it the back page of the Scotsman or one of the Scottish? Scottish papers where Brendan Rodgers reckoned a Rangers fan came over and said, oh, you've really improved things around here. Nice
Oh, one. Yeah, the Rodgers, yeah. It was classic. It was like David Brent-esque, wasn't it? It was fantastic. Yeah. He basically said, I was sat in my car and a guy came over in a blue shirt, obviously implying he was a Rangers fan. And I thought, oh, here we go. And he came over and went, cheers, Brendan, you've been a breath of fresh air for the city.
A real addition to the city.
It didn't happen. Yeah. Did not happen.
Even the Rangers fans love me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, maybe you couldn't understand his accent. And the sort of Brendan Rodgers filter just turned it into praise.
Yeah, it didn't happen, Jim. It just did not
happen. He went to another school.
Yeah.
With my girlfriend.
Yeah. Tom Swinburne, not really looking forward to it, but Coventry City, in all likelihood, being relegated to the fourth division of English football for the first time since 1959, a week after we won the Chequer Trade Trophy, which we mentioned earlier, in front of 43,000 fans, is worth a mention. It is worth a mention. It's great that they managed to lift a trophy. Didn't really get a chance to say it earlier, but after all the grief they've been through, hopefully they can avoid a relegation again, but it doesn't look likely. But cheers for that, Tom. And I'll end with this one from Stuart McKeown saying, I'm looking forward to hearing more about Sean Wright Phillips. Although at this stage of the show, he probably already covered him a few times. And I mean, you actually did mention him earlier, sort of ruined it.
And his Monster Munch.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to expand on that Monster Munch thing?
No,
okay, right.
What a mystery.
That's it from me, unless you guys are looking forward to anything else.
I think that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Jim and Pete, are you looking forward to anything? One last chance.
I'm looking the weekend. Forward to... Oh, we're going to Madrid, aren't we?
I'm looking forward to going to the Madrid derby with you guys.
Yeah.
We're off to the Madrid derby this weekend, so check out our social media accounts for all the updates on that, and we'll maybe talk about it a bit on Monday.
There we are. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think we might mention
it. Yeah, I imagine we'll mention that.
Unless it's a 0-0.
Yes. I die. Yeah. And that'll be a Peteman memorial show.
I'm looking forward
to... if you die, we won't not mention it.
I'm looking forward to a Atletico Madrid fan going up to Diego Simeone. Going up to Zinedine Zidane saying, you've been like a breath of fresh air for this year.
Yeah, right. Oh, dear. Maybe people will say that to us, the airport staff, as we leave.
Doubtful.
Yeah. You've been a breath of fresh air this season, these last few days.
Pete Dawson, you've been a breath of fresh air for this economy.
You've been a breath of fresh air. Now, could you just stop farting? The plane, you can smell it when you're on the ground.
What are you doing?
What?
All right, we're off. Jim, say goodbye.
Air,
goodbye. Luke, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Peter.
You can pump in the air.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.